Rishus the Rebbeim that are here. Rishus Rav Rublevsky also is not here, but trying to fill big shoes. Shoes which I can't really fill, but something that I just want to share that's very dear to me and close to me, so hopefully could give something over that that speaks to me and that I connect to, and you'll also be able to hear it a little bit, to understand it, to hear it with your hearts, and also connect to this idea. So, some of you were at my house a few weeks ago, and we were watching the Vimeo, right? The new thing for weddings now is you get this like short little like 3-4 minutes of Vimeo, it's called. Or that's just the name of the website, but a Vimeo of your wedding. So a few weeks ago, we watched the Vimeo together. And actually, yesterday we got back, we had some revisions, we got back an edited version of the Vimeo, and it got me thinking. Okay, we have this 3-4 minute Vimeo that's trying to like recap what happens at the wedding, trying to give a sense of the simcha, the feeling of what's going on at the wedding. And if you'll notice, I don't know, maybe if I was speaking to a seminary, girls like to watch the Vimeos a lot, maybe some of you also will admit it to me privately. If you'll notice in every single Vimeo, literally half the Vimeo, and it's strange when you think about it, and it's true in my Vimeo also, there's a shot of me buttoning my shirt, putting on my tie, my dad helping me put on the jacket, I could put on the jacket myself, but we had to do that for the Vimeo, and of my wife, her putting on her earrings, and all these different hachanos, and tying my shoe, and all these different things. And it's a little bit strange that every Vimeo opens up with all the, they have the girls doing the makeup and everything. So why is that? Why start the Vimeo? Just get to the wedding, get to the chuppah, get to the bedekin, and that's the ikar. That's what really matters. Similar question, to relate it more to the Parsha, to the Torah, we have perhaps, you know, the longest section of the Torah is all about the building of the Mishkan. And there are 4 Parshios describe the dimensions and the materials and how it was given and minute detail after minute detail about how to build the Mishkan and what were the dimensions of the Mishkan and what the Mishkan looked like. And how it was constructed, and what different artisans and what different works they had to do to create the Mishkan. And it's a similar question of what's the purpose of this? Why is there lengthy discussion of just get to the Mishkan? Just tell us what happened in the Mishkan, the korbanos, the kohanim, the service, the avoda, the shira. Why do we need to have all this introduction leading up to the Mishkan? 3rd question, and then we'll start answering, try to understand a little bit. I was thinking, I knew Rav Rublevsky was going to be in America, so I knew it was an opportunity to speak. And to many of you, some of you we have an opportunity to learn in Chaburas and Chavrusas, to many of you I'm just like the Mishmar guy. That's like my role, and I'm here Thursday night. So I thought for, you know, let's talk about Mishmar. What is Mishmar? And I started to think about it. Why do we even call it Mishmar? Right? Maybe if we understand the name, what it means to be Mishmar, we could understand a little bit what are we trying to do in Mishmar? Why do we have to go upstairs and sing? Why are we eating chalent? So I think if we understand the name, Mishmar, what does that even mean? We could begin to understand a little bit what we're trying to do here Thursday night. So at first I thought, and I think this is what I thought growing up my whole life, Mishmar, what's pshat in Mishmar? It's like a guard, right? Just like you walk out down the hallway and there's the guard at the booth and he's there 24/7. There's always a guard there and the guard doesn't leave. So, okay, we can't stay up all night into the wee hours of the morning every single night because we have to wake up and we have morning seder. But one night a week, Thursday night, we don't have shir on Friday. So we're like doing our guard duty and we're like staying up until the wee hours of learning and like of the morning learning. And that's what it means to have mishmar. We're a guard. But there's an Ohev Yisrael, an Apter Rav, who says a pshat And I think it helps us understand a little bit why we call it Mishmar and what we're trying to accomplish in Mishmar. He's commenting on last week's parsha. It says, "Ach et shabsosai tishmeru." Right, you see the word again, Mishmar tishmeru. And then the next pasuk says, "Ushmartem et haShabbos," that you should again shomer. You should guard at Shabbos. And generally, I think we all were very familiar with the phrase that we say over and over again, Shomer Shabbos. Is he Shomer Shabbos? I'm Shomer Shabbos. And, right, the phrase doesn't come from nowhere. It's Psukim. Shabbosai Tishmeru Shmarsam Et HaShabbos. That there's a concept of being Shomer Shabbos. So the Abdur Rav, the Ohev of Yisrael, he says, what does it mean to be Shomer Shabbos? If we had to define what it means to be Shomer Shabbos, so the Abdur Rav, he does something very interesting. He points to another pasuk in Bereishis where the word shomer is used again, and he tells us what it means based on this pasuk in Bereishis, what it means to be shomer Shabbos. In Parshas Vayeshev, when the brothers, when Yosef has these dreams and he tells them to the brothers, and the brothers get very jealous, and ultimately they end up selling him, and the whole Galus Mitzrayim happens because of this. So the pasuk says, "Va'yikanebo achiv." His brothers became jealous of him. "Va'aviv," but his father, meaning Yaakov Avinu, "shamar et hadavar." He kept the secret, the idea, the dreams, whatever it was. "Shamar et zeh." So again, we have this word "shamar," "mishmar," right? "Ushmar samet haShabbos." Says Rashi there, what does it mean, "shamar"? Hayamamtin umetzape masa yavo. What does it mean, Valviv Shamar et Adavar? What does it mean that Yaakov Avinu Shamar, this dream of Yosef Atzadik? Says Rashi, it meant he was mamtim, he was waiting umetzape and longing masa yavo. When will this dream come to reality? When will this dream actually happen? When will the dream come to fruition? He knew it was going to happen. Va'aviv shamar et hadavar, says Rashi, hayamamtim u'mitzapa. He was waiting and longing and yearning for these dreams to take place, for these dreams to happen. Says the Ohev Yisrael, on a deeper level, this is what it means to be Shomer Shabbos. Okay, maybe we think, and this is true in some reality, in some level, Shomer Shabbos means that we don't cook, we don't turn on lights, we don't use our phones, we don't carry, whatever it is. But on a deeper level, says the Ohev Yisrael, when the pasuk says, "Ushmarzam et haShabbos et Shabbos osai tishmeru," on a deeper level, it's telling us, "Mamti mitzape," that we have to long and wait and yearn for Shabbos. He says, "Roi v'nachul n'chol ish maskil v'novon," it's fitting for every single person who's thinking, "Lasum el libo l'tzafos u'liyachil kol yimei achol yos mishomer Shabbos," to wait and to yearn for Shabbos. "Kemo v'aviv shamar sadavar, lihislaiv me'od masa yagia yom haShabbos," to be on fire, longing and asking when Shabbos is coming. "Lios mikave," to be yearning, "v'nichsaf," and desiring, "mishtokek l'matana chamuda zu hagenuza habayim b'yom haShabbos," for this great present, a matana of Shabbos. "Ki vaday b'yachana rabo l'chol vav yimei ha'maisa al kedushas Shabbos." Because, of course, Shabbos needs hachana. But it's funny, I actually, as I was heading out of the house for Mishmar right now, I told my wife I was speaking. She said, "What are you speaking about?" She said, "Preparing for Shabbos." She said, "Very nice. I'm making the chicken soup right now, and you're speaking about preparing for Shabbos." But I think there was actually something deep there, that there's preparing for Shabbos, and we all know there's something called cooking, and we have to do, you have to buy the challah, and I'm not belittling, that's very important. But there's another type of preparation for Shabbos that sometimes we forget about. Sometimes we don't realize that there's also preparation for Shabbos in a more spiritual level. Getting our neshama ready for Shabbos, not just the food ready for Shabbos. So, of course, you know, she's doing her type of preparation, and there's another type of preparation that sometimes we forget about and we have to remember. "Ukafi hachanaso b'machshava b'dibor maisa." Right, says the Ohev Yisrael that we have to be making for Shabbos with our machshava, with our thoughts, with our dibur, the way we speak, and our maisa. "Kemo kein tiyeh hasagaso." The more we prepare, the more we're gonna tap into it. At the Slonim Rebbe, he quotes this Oiv Yisrael in Parshas Re'eh, and he says, Pashut Mashal, right, the Slonim Rebbe, it's a Sefer Nesiva Shalom, it's a beautiful Sefer, recommend it to everyone. And there's a Mashal, a running theme throughout his Sefer. He always gives a Mashal. He says, there's two ways of worshipping a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You can worship a Kaddish Baruch Hu like an Eved, or you can worship a Kaddish Baruch Hu like a Ben Melech, like a servant, or like the son of the king. So the Nesiva Shalom says, this is what's going on here in the Oiv Yisrael. Right? You could worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu like an Eved, and that means that you don't take out your phone on Shabbos, I see we got some people holding up the Nesiva Shalom. Alright, next week maybe we'll get more people holding it up. That's the Eved way of worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu and keeping Shabbos. But says in the Nesiva Shalom, the Ben Melech way of worshipping Shabbos, the Ben Melech way of keeping Shabbos, is to yearn for Shabbos, to look forward to Shabbos, to get excited about Shabbos. So, to answer, right, I think that might be pshat in the whole Vimeo thing, the whole, why there's a whole clip of me tying my shoes and putting on my tie and my wife putting on her earrings before the wedding and The Vimeo is 4 minutes long, just like give us the actual wedding. But I think there's, first of all, the experience that it is capturing something big. The experience that we had on our wedding day, and even for someone that's watching it that wasn't there, it gets you excited. It gets you, you're looking forward to the wedding. You don't just come right into the wedding without like that build up. It's all about that build up. And I was thinking, in terms of the Mishkan, there's one, all the Kalim. In the Mishkan, when we first got the commandment of the Mishkan in Truma, all the Kalim are in Parshas Truma, except one kli, one of the vessels in the Mikdash is there's it talks about the Big Day Kahuna, and then only afterwards does it talk about the kior, the water basin where they would wash their hands, and I was thinking maybe we could say that the kior is yotze min haklal, lamin al haklal. The kior is separated from all the other kalim to teach us what the purpose of the whole Mishkan is, and all this, the psukim and parsha after parsha telling us about the whole achana, because the kior, what's the idea of the kior? The idea of the kior is the kohanim, the first thing they would do is they would wash themselves and cleanse themselves. And what's the purpose of this? To get excited for the avoda, to get serious for the avoda, as a preparation for avoda. We're able to do that every single day when we do Netilas Yadayim, as we, you know, after we wake up. And I think that's the whole purpose of all the instructions about the Mishkan. It's to tell us that it's about getting excited and getting ready and preparing for things. And it's not just about Shabbos, it's not just about the building of the Mishkan. It applies to everything in life. On Thursday night, we have the opportunity to do it on Shabbos. But it applies, right, there are two ways to prepare for Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, let's say, for example. You could go to the Shuk, you find the cheapest guy or the best deal or whatever your rabbi told you is the best way to light, you buy it, you give him the $50, you come back, and then a minute before you, it's time to light the candles. You plop them on the table, make the bracha, and you're done. That's one way of preparing for a mitzvah. But says in the Sefer Shalom, the Ben Melech, what does he do? He's excited about it, and he learns about what does it mean to light Ner Chanukah beforehand. And he takes some time to think about, oh, after I learned about it, what are the kavanas, what are the ideas behind lighting candles? And he thinks about that before he lights the candles. And maybe he sings the songs or whatever it is that gets him excited and into the mitzvah more. So I think now we understand a little bit more, right? Why is it called Mishmar? Right, why isn't it just called extra night seder or learning? Or right, where'd the name Mishmar come from? I think it's Pashut, after understanding this Oiv Yisrael, who invokes the Pasuk of Aviv Shamar Tadavar, that Shamar means Mitzape, Umamtin, to wait, to yearn for something. We understand a little bit what it means on Thursday night. We learn a little bit more. Right, maybe you could say B'derech Remez, that's you know, there's an inyan in Dafka having cholent on Thursday night because it's the ochel of Shabbos, and you're I mean, it's not, it's a halacha that you're supposed to eat the food before Shabbos. Why is that a halacha? because it's supposed to get you excited about Shabbos. And that's what's happening on Mishmar. We prepare ourselves for Shabbos. I'll close. There's a beautiful piece from the Rav of Soloveitchik in Ala Tshuva, where he speaks about, right, the Rav, I'm not exactly sure which year he gave this over, if it was the 60s or the 70s or maybe even later in the 80s. And we all know that before our times, go back a number of years, it was there was a challenge of being Shomer Shabbos in America. But the Rav describes something even beyond that. I'll read you his words. Even in those neighborhoods made predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk about the sanctity of Shabbos. Right? He says, even in religious neighborhoods, from neighborhoods, right? Maybe we have in our mind these from neighborhoods that... But the Rav says, you can't talk about the sanctity of Shabbos. Okay, so what would we imagine the Rav to say right now? It's because they don't know the laws of Borer, and they're not makbid on carrying, and they're playing ball, whatever. You know, we would expect the Rav to speak about some Chil Shabbos. But what does Rav Soloveitchik tell us? He says, true, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbos. But it is not for Shabbos that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but there are no Erev Shabbos Jews who go out to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, and or with their mouths. Right? They do. They do what the Shulchan Aruch says. They do what the halacha is. And that's observing Shabbos. It definitely is. But there are few indeed who truly know the meaning and the service of the heart. Right, the Rav's describing that there's something, that's what an Erev Shabbos Jew is. That's someone that, he's excited about Shabbos, and he taps into Shabbos before Shabbos even comes, and all Friday he's waiting for Shabbos, all week he's waiting for Shabbos, and that's the goal of Thursday night Mishmar, to be Mitzapeh, to be Mamtin Mitzapeh. Hashem should bless us to serve Him like Banim, and to tap into this Koach of Mishmar as we prepare for Shabbos.